Hello, welcome to The Honest Wargamer. I'm your host, Rob, and this is another thrilling Age of Sigmar 4 video where we're going to be looking at all of the kind of hot gossip that Games Workshop have just released. And there are some massively impactful changes that we're going to talk about. No Battleshock phase, different objective size zones, loads of stuff. So let's look at it right now. All of the information comes directly from this article that they've put up. And while, yes, we are just looking through articles, which you could go read yourself, I think there's some inference that we can make to other stuff. So if you are new to Age of Sigmar or new to The Honest Wargamer, thanks for watching. Please like, subscribe, join our Patreon, where we have an active Discord community who talk about Age of Sigmar all the time and other stuff. So that would be cool. But we're hopefully going to give some context to the stuff that we're seeing here and then let you know that the world isn't falling and most of it is quite interesting. Okay, so the first bit we're going to not talk about because unfortunately there's quite a lot of marketing bump. But all the interesting information starts to arrive later on. Every single war scroll is changing. I think this is something that people haven't got yet in their communities. People keep looking at the rules and like, oh, the objective size is changing. I'm going to be able to get so many attack from my witch elves, as an example I saw in the chat earlier. You're not. You don't know how many attacks witch elves have in the future. Everything is going to change. You're going to have different amounts of health. We'll talk about that in a moment. You're going to have different weapon profiles. Weapons may not work the same. We already know that weapon ranges aren't the same as well. You're going to have maybe, you know, things on sixes to hit, weapon abilities, loadouts, different moves. Movement stat might not even be incorporated into the war scroll. No idea. It is a ground-up rewrite and not anything. Anything you know now about Age of Sigmar is not going to carry over into the next edition, with the exception of the rules and probably the unit names. I don't think they'll change the unit names, I think, which is sad, because as I've always wanted from my Knight Judicators from Stormcast Eternals, I've wanted them to be called Rooty Tooties Pointy Shooties. But I don't think they're going to go for that, which is unfortunate for me personally. So every war scroll is going to change, and it's going to change significantly. So, you know, if you're new to Age of Sigmar, this is great because you're like, I can jump in when everyone else is jumping in. It's wonderful. If you are already an existing Age of Sigmar player, then all that information that's in your head is kind of useless. But we're going to talk about that in a different video. The Age of Sigmar 3rd edition is probably the first edition that you can ever, like, go back and revisit. We'll talk about that in a different video. And then also, similarly, I don't know what my point was going to be, but it was something along the lines of you're going to have to relearn everything. That's what I was going to say. It does seem like from this marketing and all of the things we've read in this article, and if we compare it to things like the old world marketing was very much like, oh, so you're a returning player, or when you used to play Warhammer Fantasy Battle, a lot of it was for people who already played. Most of the marketing, and I would say it looks like most of the game design, feels geared towards trying to engender new people into Age of Sigmar. And that's probably because everyone who already plays Age of Sigmar is going to keep playing Age of Sigmar because the community is super dope. That's probably why everyone's playing it. Models are great. The game will probably be fine, but the community is great. It's like going to the cinema. You're always going to go to the cinema or you're always going to watch a movie. Some movies are Dune 2 and some movies are Fast and Furious 10. Both are enjoyable, but one of them is good. It's Fast and Furious. No, it's Dune. Okay. The team took the opportunity at the outset to measure each profile in every faction to see whether their basic stat line felt right. Now, this is a big deal. We might see massive changes. And the reason Age of Sigmar is the way it is right now is because lethality and survivability are always things that are juxtaposing themselves inside of the game. As an example, if something only ever has 6 wounds like you will get in the old world, doing 5 attacks is quite a big deal because you might be able to nearly kill that thing. Where if something's got 40 wounds, right, 40 wounds in Age of Sigmar, you're going to need a lot of attacks or high damage attacks to do that many wounds to them. Therefore, lethality and survivability have been an ongoing problem for the rules writers in Age of Sigmar and in 40K. 40K, they definitely had that at one point, and they decided to like up survivability to keep in line with lethality. And when they up lethality, because lethality is cool, you blow something up, it's cool. Yeah, you murder a, you know, an orc or a human or whatever, that's cool. Lethality is the cool part. The survivability part is not normally that cool. So they're always at war with each other. So this could mean a fundamental change. For instance, if Mega Gargants didn't stay at 40 wounds, but instead they went down to, you know, 20 wounds, you could half the lethality in the game. Not that Mega Gargants are the very pinnacle of survivability, but it's just as an example. Right. So this is a big deal. We'll talk about health in a moment. The other thing that they've said is they want their basic stat line to feel right. How does a Grot stack up against a mortal human, for instance, or a Saurus against an Uruk? This is also really interesting because Games Workshop has pretty limited scope when it comes to game design because of using D6s. Almost certain they're not going to change away from D6s and they're going to move to D12. And there's lots of videos on this subject, but it's also worth talking about that when you have... when you want ones to always fail, because you probably always want there to be some failure in a game, that means you only really have twos to sixes to be successes, which means, you know, a Grot being the worst hitting on a six and a Stormcast being the best and hitting on a two, then that means that's your maximum design space. So, you know, Orcs and Saurus feel very similar and they might all be around like the fours, but are they elite? They're the threes? It's a great point in that, like, you know, if you have a very, very strong orc, you think he would hit wound things on twos. But now what about a Mega Gargant when he hits on a two? He's got a tree. You know, he's hitting you with a giant oak and he's a massive. So they have very limited scope or very limited, like, breadth in their game design. And so this is going to be interesting as well because they have to be fairly tight with that. Otherwise, things can feel like they're not in tune with the narrative of what the miniature is. How does a Grot stack up against it? So that's that. So they're going to be redesigning all that, and that's going to be really interesting because also, I assume, this is going to set the tone for what Age of Sigmar will be for the next 6 to 10 years. There will be a new edition 3 years after this release because that's how they do that. They do a new edition every 3 years. But that's pretty fascinating that in 3 years' time, are they going to build upon this? Like, orcs always hit on fours. Oh, that's so weird. Why do they always hit on fours? Well, unless they're in a war, in which case they hit on threes and they double their damage. You're like, okay, so what? You know, orcs really work along this tempo thing, and then they'll be able to carry that forward. So they're redesigning what we think of the miniatures, which is honestly more fascinating than it sounds, but here we go. Over the course of this process, War Scroll design has changed, and as has the kind of information that goes on it. Some characteristics have been renamed for clarity. For instance, wounds has become health. And as I talked about earlier during the stream, before I started recording, I hate it, but it's a great decision. The only reason I hate it is because I'm used to it. My guy has 7 wounds. But to be clear, I think it's a really great decision. I think it's really helpful for new people. I have in the past on the tabletop said I've done 3 wounds and they've been like, oh, I'll put 3 wounds on my model. I'm like, no. You still get to save. And if you don't know how at the moment, it works. Don't worry about it. I won't explain it. But just know that changing from wounds to health is a positive step, if not, you know, a little jarring for people who've been in the hobby a while, which it is, but it's a great decision. So I'm on board with that. And I love that. Great. While miniatures can now fight in melee if they're within 3 inches combat range of opponents. This is something that has been talked about a lot. In Age of Sigmar, there used to be, or in Age of Sigmar currently, but going away soon, there are weapon ranges. So if I have a spear, how do you differentiate its ability to do an attack versus, let's say, you know, a dagger? What is the difference in that? And it seems like in this, they're now taking away weapon ranges. And they've already done some like granular stuff that they've taken out of the game. For instance, there's no strength and toughness. If I'm wounding on a 3, I'm wounding a Mega Gargant on a 3, and I'm wounding a Grot on a 3. Some people don't like that. They think that that's not granular enough, and it really removes the idea of the narrative, which is obviously your choice. But then also weapon ranges are the same thing. Why is a spear able to stab as long as a dagger? I guess it's just for ease. It just makes everything a little easier. Truth be told, you're either going to like that or you're not going to like that. Let me know in the comments below how you feel about it. Okay, so there's that. And then speeding up pile-ins, which they've not expressed about, so I don't know what that's going to be. It's probably going to be specific, as in, like 40K, you're going to move model to model, closest model to closest model, and then you have to make base contact, which is what they do in 40K, and I assume it's going to be the same. And then combat resolution. Combat resolution is really interesting. Because at the minute, combat resolution, or you, how many wounds each side takes, is geared towards working out what the Battleshock is going to be. But they go on to talk about the fact that Battleshock has been removed from the game. So combat resolution now must achieve something differently. In Old World, maybe that's our way to look at it. Is it going to be the same as 40K, where we're going to have this battle-shocked state, which they had previously? Or are we going to see morale completely changed and move into a new section? There's no idea. But combat resolution there is more interesting than maybe you than maybe it reads, because actually, how is two units charging to each other? They have a fight. How do you decide who's won the fight? Is it just how many models are dead? Do you need to resolve the combat beyond there? Do you have to have something like Old World where units flee away? Do you need to have a Battleshock thing? It's changed. We don't know what it looks like, and it's very interesting. And you can now contest an objective model within 3 inches of a 40 mil objective marker. Now, this is a huge change for Age of Sigmar. If you've not seen Age of Sigmar before, or not played Age of Sigmar before, but seen the tables, you'll see the big pie plate objective markers, which have been out there for a long time. And those really show you the zone of contesting. So anything within 6 inches of a point at the moment is contested. So you end up with these big 12-inch objective markers, which you put down, and they look huge. They take up a lot of the board space. I would argue that the main reason for this change is as an aesthetic choice. They probably don't want a battlefield to just look like six giant plastic circles. It's probably not what they like. Also, this brings it in line with what 40K looks like as well, where you have a 40 mil objective marker and then you have, you know, something outside of that, which is, you know, fine. For Age of Sigmar players who currently play the game, this is a massive change. There's been stuff that people have talked about, being able to put loads of bodies on an objective so you can't stand on it, what we call a objective blocking. Definitely very real. For people who are current Age of Sigmar players, the way it works in 40K is that the center objective you can move through, but you can't ever land models on top of. So it's kind of impassable, but it's not. It's more unlandable as a piece. So that'll be interesting as well, having a dead zone where, you know, a unit can't put its model on top of. That's pretty spicy. And again, that's really going to change the shape of the game. Is large model counts going to be really important? Someone in the chat earlier on asked me about, do I want armies to be smaller, or do I want them to be, you know, do I want them to be smaller? Again, another video I'd love to make, because I think there's a really good conversation there. Okay, so that's huge. And the objective, and also, like, do you know what? I should just TLDR this. The objective markers changing is also a big deal for a lot of players, because they've bought objective markers themselves and now they have to go and buy some more objective markers. It's just a real shame. It's the same as when they changed the board size. If you're new, they used to be, boards for Age of Sigmar and 40K used to be 6 foot by 4 foot, and they changed it to 44 by 62 or whatever it is. They changed the size of the board, so people either had to buy new mats or new gaming tables or whatever the situation was. Unfortunately, this is just an inherent part of being in the Games Workshop cycle. Okay, so yeah, and unfortunately, that's sad. Okay, will the Honest Wargaming be making objective markers? Yes, we will, which is hopefully you'll see in the future. Okay, universal special rules are in, and they're a manageable amount and make them easy to recall. So universal special rules have always kind of existed. They're just the rules, really. But what they're more talking about, and they've talked about this in a previous article, is that some elements of those rules will stay the same, like champions will be the same for all units and banner bearers will be the same for all units. So that's a way of really cutting down what something in a unit does. Fine. Like, you know, that's really useful. Deep strike is a good one. I'd like to see deep strike, ambush, scout. These are all abilities that work in other games. I'd like to see them cross-reference. I'd also love if they could just have the same rule mean the same thing in different games. Deep Strike in 40K has a very specific rule. I would like Deep Strike to be in this to be literally identical, just for ease, so you can have a conversation with people. That'd be great. Okay, there are now meaningful command abilities in every round with clear and simple sequencing. Good as well. But if you want to use them, you'll have to deal with a strict command point economy. We have no idea what that means right now. There's already like a fairly strict command point economy, but I'm assuming command points are changed up in the way that you get them. Command points are cool because you get a token and you could spend the token, which is fair. Okay. Everything you can do in the game is now an ability, from moving, fighting, shooting, and casting spells, to the unique actions found on your war scrolls. These abilities have clear sequencing, a declare step, an effect step, and their timing is written out, color-coded and using symbols. Although, let's really hope it's got nothing to do with kill team. I don't want to be moving a triangle and attacking you with a square. Don't want that at all. But that is really good. There's two things to say about this. One, any clarity in how a rule works very clearly is awesome, and we love that. However, on the flip of that, I do like it when you have more of a conversational tone with rules, but I will sacrifice the conversational tone of a rule for it being more clear. It can feel a little bit more like, clinical, and I guess clinical maybe takes away from the, the fun, jaunty nature. But normally they have some like flavor text on the top, and I would like them to maintain that. And then user symbols makes it incredibly easy to understand at a glance in which phase you can perform each action or what it does. Okay, we'll see what if that's true. This is also a pretty interesting thing as well. The modular nature of the new rule set is something we'll explain more in due course. But essentially, the core rules are supported by a series of more advanced plug-and-play additions. It's perfectly possible and quite satisfying to play without magic. For instance, while at higher levels, new battle packs and general's handbooks can slot in the same way. So I think this is effectively them talking about onboarding. Everything I've seen in all of the marketing so far is they want new players to play Age of Sigmar. They don't really care about the current players because current players will already play. That isn't what they're talking about. They're like, what they want is they want the very easiest way for you to get some miniatures and play Age of Sigmar so they can get you into the ecosystem. And every barrier that they can break down is going to be a bonus in that opinion. And yeah, they've already got us. Okay. And therefore, probably people just playing regular match play events or what I call pickup games. I call them pugs. So pickup games is what I would consider to be standard. I sometimes call it Age of Sigmar standard as well, where you just are literally playing a pre-established, it's 2,000 points normally, 2,000 points, match play, general's handbook, pickup game. All of the rules and FAQs that are currently out are in effect. That's normally what I consider to be a pickup game. And then what they're saying is they'll just strip back away from that, take the General's Handbook out, take Magic out as an example, and make it so that there's an easy-to-do pickup game. Fine. Let me know what you think of that. However, with changes this fundamental to the core building blocks of the game, it does mean the previous rules and rulebooks have been superseded. Every combat battle tome will be retired. I love that they're going to the farm, which is the pulper. Again, I'd like to be clear, rules from Games Workshop should be free. Their rules that they have are, especially behind a financial paywall, are a barrier to them selling miniatures. Every book I have to buy is a miniature I haven't bought. It's a mistake on their part. The rules should be free because they do this. Like I've said, before Age of Sigmar 4 is out, we're currently in 2024. In 2027, we'll be having the same conversation about Age of Sigmar 5 that's about to be released. So please go into this edition, buying these books, knowing that they will be out of date potentially in 3 years. Okay. However, so they're all being retired, but every faction will receive a free downloadable faction pack shortly after release, which they're also providing a physical copy that you can buy from them. Again, looking at 40K, which edition changed like 9 months ago, please remember that those physical packs that they sold were almost instantly FAQ'd, with several of them being out of date or wrong when they finally went to print. So purchase those with that in mind. Don't buy them and think, yeah, these will last me for 3 years, because they probably won't. So I just don't want you to buy into those. But the downloadable ones are free, which is cool. And the downloadable ones, they'll probably change up when they do make rules changes. So just be conscious of that. That's great. Just be really, just be cautious with your money. Go and buy, buy models more than rules almost all the time. If you want to buy something. But they've got the spell laws, enhancements, and everything else. And it does sound like they'll be fairly fleshed out, but we don't know what that looks like yet. We'll see what that looks like in the future. And then there's going to be more articles to come as we go through. And that's all the info that's out there in the wild at the minute, everything we know so far. But some absolutely massive changes. Each one of those I could probably do more of a deep dive on. Objective control is one of those ones that's going to be really interesting. But we're going to see each one of those in the future. Yeah, we're going to see each one of those in the future in more detail, so I'll probably cover them as we get the info. But I hope you like the video. I hope this is helpful. I'm going to stay with you on this journey for Age of Sigmar 4, because it's a journey I'm on. And I hope you like the video and the chat, and you could join us for our live streams on Twitch, which we do every day. And then just be part of the conversation as we move towards the future and start looking at this cool new game. I'm very excited to play it. Very excited to find out all the new rules. Just can't wait to find, and I also can't wait to see all the new models. It's going to be really fun. Thanks for watching. Let me know what you think. See you soon.